Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you. Joining me in this wonderful, exciting, prophetic conversation to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only,
hello,
4 foot two, John Ramos.
Hello.
No. Give a shout out to all of our listeners. Thanks for your encouraging words. If you have not yet friended us on Facebook, go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or go to Facebook.com/VFNTV as V Victor FNTV and like us. We'll stay connected. We'll send you encouragements throughout the day. And we can talk back and forth. Give a shout out to all the VFN family. Hello, Brett. Hello, Sharon. Denver, Colorado. I see the snow coming. I see it coming. Pittsburgh, what an enterprise. What an enterprise. Sophia and Maria, Toys R Us. Hello, Texas. Oh, my goodness. And the Emerald Coast. Oh, welcome. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Oh, and Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
My goodness. Here we are coming into the Extra Hour. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it because, I mean, we're getting real close to deciding who our leader is going to be for the next 4 years, and it's going to be some of those crucial years. Probably the most, no matter who gets in office, it's going to be really the most roughest years probably America's seen since its first days.
Yeah.
Are we going to stay a nation? Are we going to stay one nation under God? Are we going to stay a nation separate than the nations of the world? Are we going to be literally a part of the United Nations? You know, all these different things. I mean, these are questions. And understand that no matter what people have told you, that God is not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. He does not speak and not act. He does not promise and not fulfill. And all of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, which means this: when he tells us that there's going to be a time and a season where an economy kicks in, and he says in that economy that it'll be controlled by one mindset, and it'll be a mindset of the god of this world, which would be Satan, which you refer to as a beast, and his economy, that nobody can buy or sell in this economy, whatever it's going to be, unless you have some sort of ID card. And says so you have some sort of identification, some sort of, I don't know, RFID chip or some sort of mark, something that identifies you differently than people who said, I don't want to trade in your economy. And you may have heard that, and the enemy's just done an onslaught against God's truth. When you hear the words mark of the beast, it may just wash off of you like water off a duck's back, thinking that means nothing. You're in a very bad place when you think God's word and what God says is something that's not that relevant to you. I mean, that means you would buy in instantly and justify why you're doing it. The question is those that take the mark, those that say, okay, I'm, you know, and how many people right now, I mean, how many people are, justifying their rebellion to God, their refusal to be in the harvest field, based because of their business, because of their money, and because of their economy. I mean, they're voting for a particular candidate because of money. And it's like, it's already going that direction, everyone. Everybody's pretty much talking about, I'm voting my wallet. What does that mean? Was is that if people get more money from this particular direction, that's the direction they're going.
That's right.
And it says, wide is the road that leads that way. And many are on it, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Very few find it. So you're going to have to, don't follow the crowd, follow Jesus.
That's right. Pay attention.
And we got so much going on, and you can be in prayer with us that, you know, that God would reveal to us and give us, lighten our eyes to see better, like the sons of Issachar, this season, and that we don't just click over and accept this new economy. And the thing is start preparing yourself where you're not a slave anymore to the lender.
Right.
You know, we talked about in the wisdom moment, I believe it was yesterday, is that if you keep on borrowing from your master, you're going to keep on being your master's slave. I mean, that's just what it was, because you're the slave to the lender. But I was just, you know, think about Gideon. Gideon was a man who wasn't thinking about doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually hiding and eking out a living in a wine press. Just kind of, he's hiding because he's, every time he would do something and everybody would do something, God's people would do something, this whole spirit of strife, or, you know, Midianites, they would come in. If you look at the word Midianite, that means strife. This whole contention would come in, and it would just take anything you had in your savings account, anything that you had, any positive growth. And so he had to hide to be able to make a living. And in this place where everybody was hiding out and God's people felt just broken, which I believe that we're possibly just going to have to go there because we haven't got there yet, to so that we would begin to look up and look to God. But whatever it takes, you know, we want as many as possible to be saved and to know him. And all of a sudden the Lord shows up and he sees this man eking out a living, you know, hiding, terrified. And he says, you know, mighty man of valor. This angel says this to Gideon. And Gideon starts looking over his shoulder going like, what?
All right.
You know, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, what you talking about, Willis? And so, you know, with that, and long story short, God chose Gideon, who was the weakest and the least likely, to be able to begin to do something that he could show himself mighty in the midst of when all of God's people are terrified, that are hiding in caves and just trying to eke out a living in the midst of this one, this great oppression in the land. And listen, there's going to be more people against God than for God, sad to say. That's what it's going to be. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. What does that mean? The crowd, it doesn't necessarily mean it's for God. I mean, everybody's for a good song and a good beat and a good, you know, come on. I mean, hair done the right way with a hair product. I mean, everybody wants to look at it. Look at that hair. You know, but when it boils down to it, I say you're for the hair, but are you for Jesus? I mean, I understand that 19% are the only ones, you know, reading the word according to George Barna of the Bible. But if you read it, you know, some things that we're just openly doing and broadcasting, he says plainly, you know, that we shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't please him.
Right.
And so all these things taking place in with the radical Islam, not only radical Islam, but also with Israel under attack, and they're after God's people, which is JJ we talked about, you know, the first hour, you know, the Jews and Jesus. And you think about it, oh my goodness. And I think about Mike Bickle's ministry out of Kansas City, Missouri, where they have the International House of Prayer, and in that they have 24/7 prophetic worship, word worship and all that. And you think about Gideon's army and all these things going on. And I heard on, I think it was October the 23rd, something I want to share with you, October 23rd, where Missy Edwards, she's leading. If you haven't, you need to hook up to IHOP and support them and be a part and connect your heart to them. And because if you are in the body of Christ, they are you and you are them, and we need each other. But they lose prophetic songs and different things that happen, and they started listening here. And Jacob, when you hear Jacob, understand that's Israel. So when you hear somebody say, oh, Jacob, Jacob, where are you, Jacob? That's Israel. Oh, Israel, Israel, where are you, Israel? And he says that, you know, you'll be scattered across the lands, but I'll gather you back. And so when you start hearing, oh, Jacob, Jacob, where are you? It's trying to find the Jews and bring them back to their homeland, because the Jews are going to be saved. And so, but then, I mean, you got to hear this, but radical Islam and the things that are taking place. And I just want you to hear it. Listen up.
Jacob, Jacob.
the holy city, marching in single file, Gideon's army of angels infinity, traveling back to the land, outstretched hand like utopia, a cornucopia, promised land, milk and honey, from Ethiopia, from the four corners of the earth, a slippery slope through the scope of a sniper rifle. I hear the hope of the viper's disciple of Islamic, seek, kill and destroy. My people seek, kill and destroy. Desert heat stifling, sadistic false peace. The mark of the beast rises and defeats the high priest. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, desert darkness will increase. Splitting hairs, splitting tears, spitting harvest over beats. Bowls of the wrath flipped over, wheat from the chaff rolled over. Every stone turned over, every heart checked for pulse. The altar smokes and smolts, a holy host of holy ghosts. Filled watchmen at their post, thunder clouds and lightning bolts. The altar smokes and smolts, a holy host of holy ghosts. Filled watchmen at their post, thunder clouds and lightning bolts. Watchmen stand, watchmen stand at your post. A holy host of holy ghosts, filled watchmen at the post, under clouds and lightning bolts, the altar smokes and smolts.
Jacob,
as the altar smokes and smolts, thunder clouds and lightning bolts,
scattered among the nations,
back to the land,
return,
as the altar smokes and smolts,
return,
thunder clouds and lightning bolts,
to
calling you back to the land. Like a burning firebrand plucked up from the fiery furnace, with a gift of spiritual discernment, supernatural sight. Be led by the burning bush, pillar fire, cloud by night, a cloud by day, a lamp by night. It's time to fight like Gideon's army with eyesight. Prophetic, stand with the Jews. I hate anti-Semitic. Eat the scroll, read the words the prophets told. You gotta be bold, like a hammer, Hebrew hearts grown cold. A different manner, different tactic. A matter of fact, it's by the blood that religion becomes charismatic. Static electricity flows from the Ark of the Covenant, before the holy place, before the holy throne. The dry bones answer the call and come home. No longer a heart of stone, we prophesy flesh, life from the dead. Light from the dead upon the chest, a crest of gold like Jerusalem's lion, save Zion. No longer a heart of stone, the dry bones answer the call and come home, before the holy place, before the holy throne. Static electricity flows from the Ark of the Covenant. Abba Father, call back your people.
Return, return.
No longer a heart of stone, we prophesy flesh.
From among the nations,
before the holy
Jacob,
no longer a heart of stone,
Jacob,
we prophesy flesh, light from the dead.
Scattered among the nations,
Hebrew hearts grown cold.
Return,
the Hebrew hearts grown cold, read the words of the prophets told. So we cry out
among the nations,
cry out to
Jacob.
Awesome prophetic release that came out of this week at the International House of Prayer Kansas City, and I just can't describe how that just resonates in our spirits, because all the things, and of course if you haven't been in the Word you don't understand, but he was as one people would say, he was spitting the Word of God. He was loosing every peripheral aspect of what God is doing in the throne room of God, and radical Islam, and Israel coming back, and oh Jacob, where are you? And he says that they were literally letting, when he says we're letting the beat separate us, he's talking about that we can't even worship together because we said, I got to have music this way. I got to have music that way. Mm. And we're at this point right now where, you know, the anti-Semitism, that means that the hatred of the Jews. And he says, I hate this anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And we're at that point right now. Mm-hmm. But what does God do at a time like that? What do we do? And the thing is that he rises up an army. He raises up an army, dressed for battle, to be able to fulfill his will. Mm-hmm. And his will is his name's going to be glorified. His name's going to be known in all the earth. And so it's just that prophetic release of what God is doing in the earth. It just totally nailed it. And pray for Misty Edwards and International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle, and join Gideon's army.
That's right. That's you.
Listen, you know, he was the weakest and the least likely, but he said, you know what? I heard about this old time religion stuff and don't even want to hear it no more because I'm not seeing it. I'm ready to see something now.
That's right.
Something now. And did he have issues? Did he have to deal with some different things? Of course he had to deal with some different things. Was he fearful? Yeah, he was fearful. But, you know, God confirmed what was going on. He went through a process of preparation. God went through a process of filtering. But out of that came Gideon's army that were a few people were used in a way by God to be able to fulfill his will. And I believe all over the world there's flanks, if you would, flanks of armies. And it's a spirit, if you would, of Gideon's armies that are rising up across the world. And find one, you know, be one. Mm-hmm. Join one. Understand that it's going to take men and women who hear from heaven and do exactly what God says do. It's not about doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. But hearing it's the timings of Issachar. You hear what God's saying in this season and what needs to be done. And yes, any warrior knows it will require your life. So when you enlist in the United States military, when you sign up for the Marines, it tells you very specifically, you have to sign here that you realize that you are saying, I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for our Marines. And I thank God for all of our military men and women. And that they're willing to lay down their life so we can actually have life.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, it's the requirement of us as believers, period. We're supposed to lay down our life. But definitely the few that God is calling to join these flanks across America, they're willing to stand up. Because listen, I got news for you. Mormonism's not going to save America.
No, it ain't.
And I'm not saying that God doesn't love the Mormons. God loves the Mormons. Who does God love? Check it out. You know, we list them all, including you. And God loves everybody and us. But the reality is, you know, that's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. And but it is a nicer version of another Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to pick which one you're going to, you know, be able to live with. But understand that what's going to save is Jesus Christ, the church rising up and doing what Jesus said, not another version of Jesus.
That's right.
Doing what God said. And it's going to be you. If you call yourself a Christian, which means Christ follower, it's time to rise up and follow him. And if you're not following him, you need to decide if you are or not. Mm-hmm. And you may be doing a lot of religious things, but think about it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing a lot of religious things, but they weren't following him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, which means you have to walk with him. God will reveal his truth to you, and that truth he reveals to you will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, go preach my kingdom to everyone, to all nations. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and those that believe, baptize them, by the way, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then make them disciples. Teach them what I've commanded you. So all this other garbage and religious stuff that's going on, understand, he says, if you follow my teachings, which means you actually have to know them before you can follow them, then you're really, so it's like, are you the church? Are you really the church? You know, are you? Somebody says, "Oh, you don't have to be a disciple of Jesus. You actually can stay in your sin. You can say a prayer, and do what you want to. It's not a big deal.
It's included in the Word of God. Really?
Yeah,
really.
The word really, yeah, right. Disciples. Really, really. And you have to understand that the great deception has fallen upon the church. Now, obviously, you're not saved by your works, but you're definitely lost by your denial of him by your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, he said. And you're not your gift, by the way. And so you've been mesmerizing people because you have the ability to speak, talk, teach, sing, you know, whatever it is, even prophesy. But your life is a mess. It's a mess. And because you're not your gift. And ask the people around you. They'll let you know you're not your gift.
You're like, yeah, right.
That's right.
You're confusing me here because you're accurate in the use of your gift. We love the song. But your life is like an abomination to God.
These two don't match here.
You know, one of these things are not like the other, right? Sesame Street. And so I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, you may be religious, but listen, if you have not become a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have not yet met God as your Father and Jesus as your Savior, where you just said, I'm ready to drop everything and follow you. And Jesus said, unless you put your hands to the plow and don't look back, you're not worthy of me, of the kingdom. Right. If that's you, listen, it's better this side, by the way, what's about to take place. I mean, he will accept what, if we survive it, because I believe it's going to be, I really believe there's going to be mass death.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and don't know how it's going to happen, probably natural disaster looking thing. Different things are happening. It doesn't take much. I mean, you're looking at Syria right now with these chemical weapons. You have the Muslim Brotherhood who we're giving money to be able to bring in the weapons into these areas. And that's what allegedly that Ambassador Stevens was dealing with in
Libya.
In Libya was trying to get some of those guns back.
Mm.
And now we're funneling them through Turkey down into Syria. Which Turkey's north of Syria, and our leadership believes that the Muslim Brotherhood is a stable force to be able to give them guns, and understand the Muslim Brotherhood. This is their goal. The president of Egypt is I saw this with my own. And I don't speak, you know, Arabic, so I had to read the subtitles to it and to verify, you know, what was going on. But the imam was sitting here talking about. You know, he's sitting there holding his hands up the way a charismatic would in the presence of God. They're all kneeling down and praying at the mosque. And they're saying, you know, destroy Israel, destroy, wipe them off the face of the earth. And he's just got his eyes closed like he's having some spiritual moment. And I'm like, this is the president of Egypt. And JJ. And so here we are. You know, here we are. It's happening. And so then this weekend, you know, I had the benefit of being a community organizer. Mm-hmm. And I was because they're all individual, different entities and all. And, but they're all connected. A lot of them were connected to the PICO, which is the Pacific Institute for Community Organizing out of California. And it was, it's in Oakland, California. And it was started by a Jesuit, priest. And they're taking what's happening now in America and this was the goal of it. I was there. I went to the PICO meetings in Orange County, California, and Applegate. And I sat at the tables and I met with these organizers before I realized this ain't good. And they had a different Jesus, these guys that they were talking about.
Rut-row.
Oh, yeah, really. It was really rut-row. It was very helpful when I found out, oh, no wonder we're always conflicting here. You have a different Jesus. Bye. Anyway, so they're taking where we are right now in America, and they're making it something it's not. Mm. They're making this election coming up something that it's not. They're grabbing a hold of Dr. King's vision, and they're trying to force it to be what they want it to be. Versus, you know, if you listen to Dr. King's words and you listen to his speech, and I believe that he was an apostle. I think he was God used him to be able to bring this nation to a place that it never could have made it without somebody that God used. And pretty cool, man. I guess one day we will be able to meet him. But I feel like when Dr. Evita King, I just want to go sit with her and just be around her for a while. Cause you just feel like somehow you're being connected. And besides, she seems to have the same heart as him based on his speeches and all. But they kind of are taking it and they're communication they're putting out right now, which is the community organizing. So you're thinking about ACORN and all these different things going on, is let my people vote.
Oh, my goodness. What a travesty. They're using them.
They're using this whole concept, and they have a bound hands of a young African-American male with his hands are bound with the American flag. Mm. And it's like, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
Granted, huge injustices, terrible history, and I believe you can oppress the people by not giving them access to everything everybody else has access to. You know, people say, well, people aren't oppressed or whatever. It's like, hey, if you didn't ever give me a chance to get educated, you know, right, if my schools are not being funded, like your schools are being funded. Like, I like what Governor of New Jersey,
Chris Christie
says. I mean, I love his heart towards all the kids in the state, because he says, you know, you got to care about these kids in Compton or wherever it is that they're,
well, Patterson and Newark and all the different areas.
And so I do believe that there's injustices, and I do believe that some people, when they hear our president talk now, he talks about some different issues, they put it in the category that it's not. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm. I think what he's saying is accurate, and there's wounds across our nation, and there's things that we need to turn to God to figure out how to heal those wounds. And part of healing me is hearing me. And if you're not going to hear me, you put everything in one category, you can't deny my reality.
Right.
You can't deny the fact that I was on the way to this campaign rally of yours, and I was pulled over because I was a suspicious person because I looked like somebody. You know, you can't. That was my reality.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so,
by the same token, you can't have people that are using, you know, sad things like that have occurred for their benefit and are stoking, you know, a fire, stoking someone's flesh. It's like to be able to use these things and manipulate them for their own selfish gain. It's like, this ain't right.
Now, what is the bishop's name that you share with me? This guy, I mean, I was in tears.
I love this guy. I believe it's Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Yep.
This bishop is, I mean, he is so authentic and so real. He's an African-American bishop, and he basically says that, listen, you know, he's talking about the Democratic Party, but this could be said of any party. This could be said of any party, that you can't exploit someone because of the color of their skin. And, you know, there's been civil rights leaders in the past that, you know, just basically have just said, hey, the Democratic Party is our party, a minority party, African-American party. And it's not true. It's not right. And you can't depend. You know, he's talking about the African-Americans turning to God and turning to the church and, you know, turning to God as the source for everything, not to a political party, not to be manipulated. And he says it with such authenticity, such real. He's not bashing, but he just says it in such a way where you says, you know what? That makes so much sense. Don't use my plight. Don't use what's happened to me in the past to say that you're going to give me an injustice. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, is that if there's nothing that no man can give you that God is not going to want to give you himself. You don't have to go through a man. You have to go through a party. You have to go through a candidate, a platform. If God has something for you, you can get it directly from the Lord.
And let's just let me say it first. Listen to Bishop Jackson here. It's just powerful, powerful. Just a couple of minutes, but just get the heart of it, and you can find out more. His organization is called Stand. But we'll tell you more about it in just a moment.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson, chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand. For decades now, the Democrat Party has been moving in an increasingly anti-Christian direction. We saw this with the reaction by Democrat mayors to Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A for simply proclaiming that he supports the biblical definition of marriage. They said he would be banned from their cities and his stores would not be welcome. Leaving aside that this is blatantly unconstitutional, it also shows a hostility, indeed a hatred, for Christians and our biblical beliefs. It is time for the people of God to take a stand. It is time for a mass exodus of Christians out of the Democrat Party. We saw that hostility when they voted to censor God from their party platform and remove Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. In response to public outrage, they put them back, but over the boos of many delegates. They and their allies sue over every cross, every prayer, every mention of the name of Jesus. They even declared the Family Research Council a hate group. which undoubtedly helped precipitate the shooting that took place on FRC property. But what precipitated this call for an exodus is their unprecedented step of making same-sex marriage an official part of the Democrat platform. My friends, the Democrat Party and their progressive coalition have become anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-family, anti-marriage, and anti-life. They have turned their backs on Christians. It is time for us to turn our backs on them. On September 10th, ministers taking a stand launched this movement calling for a mass exodus of Christians and Jews.
Well, you think about it. This bishop is just saying, listen, these political party system, like Dr. King said, Dr. Evita King says, the party's over.
It's over.
It's over for Christians. Republican Party, Democratic Party, Independent Party, all these party systems are over. We're values That's right. voters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We vote the values of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that we are, it's important to us that those in leadership have values and at least have the values that allow us the First Amendment rights mm-hmm. to be able to preach the gospel. And mm-hmm. and there's so much more to Bishop Jackson's stand, but it's just, you got to hear it. We got to quit, you know, allowing, and this is what PICO's doing right here, allegedly, when you look at the front page of their recent, where they're asking for money, they're comparing, they're using this political atmosphere, and as Dr. Jackson says, that they're actually using, they're using, and the African-American people in our nation, using their legitimate issues that has happened in our history and what's happening presently for their own agenda, not for the African American, not for the minority. It's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, even voter's ID and that type of thing. Well, 60-something percent, according to CBN News, there was an interview about 60-something percent of the African Americans support voter ID. But they don't tell you that the majority they see their elections being taken from them in their own community. They want to change their schools.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They want to vote people in, like everybody wants to vote people in to be able to fund my son's school, my daughter's school. They want to be able to put people in that take better care of their community, my community, our community, whatever. Everybody's the same. We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want their elections stole from them by these PICO type organizations, community sure. organizing that they come in or the city hall steals the election because they go out there and do this voter fraud stuff and all these different things. That we got to quit allowing people to use us. You know, one man, one vote. We have to begin to say that that everybody matters. Everybody needs to be registered to vote. It's a republic form of government, so we have to educate ourselves. We have to find mm-hmm. out, you know, what's going on. We should demand our representatives to represent us mm-hmm. and come back. When they say, and I know we got to break with them, but when they say that we're going to first pass the bill before we read the bill, mm-hmm. that is unconstitutional because it's a representative government. The people around you voted in your congressman or woman and your senator to go there to represent you. And they're supposed to read these bills and come back or communicate with you in some way, in some form to let you know what the bill says. And then you tell them, like we went to this town hall meetings and stuff.
Sure.
And you say, hey, no or yes. And then they go back and represent you. And mm-hmm. the people stood up and screamed. They're like, what are you doing? And they went ahead and passed it anyway and told everybody, we haven't even read it yet.
It's a sign of the arrogance and the pride that's in the land where you can stand up and say something like that. You've totally forgotten. You've totally left and the understanding that you're there to represent the people. You're there to represent the people. It's not a cushion job. It's not a lifetime of service that you want to, you know, own yourself, but you're there to serve.
Exactly. So, you know, it's important for us to pay attention, to find out this we got to step away from all parties and join the Jesus's party. You know, his values and vote for the man or the woman individually, you know, how they stand in regards to God's value. And one of his values, as we know, is Israel. And those who bless Israel, I'll bless. And those who curse Israel, I will curse. All nations will be judged in the last days of one specific thing. Mm. What did you do with Jacob? Mm. What did you do with Israel? We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and
and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary. And the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland, that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know, and Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hireling. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to vfnfamily.org and find out more about it. Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, you know, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him, he's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself, because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God, like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. ¶¶ Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the last part of this Extra Hour is John and Pat. We've been talking about, obviously, Israel today. It's so important because we're a few days away from choosing. Are we still going to remain friends of God's value, highest value, which is Israel? Will we remain God's friend? Will America remain God's friend? Now, individual Christians, yeah. But listen, the church is not America, and America is not the church. It's the church is in America. And we have to decide where are we going to stand. And it's when we choose in the next couple of days, November the 6th, when we make a choice, pause and think. Don't vote your wallet. Vote your destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, vote your destiny for your nation and realize whoever gets in, it's going to be a rough ride. But it's going to be way rougher voting against God's values. Way worse. Well, you know, today's wisdom moment, we like to really focus on every day sharing from the wisdom of God's word. I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, think about making part of your day listening to an entire chapter, an audio version of it, of the corresponding day of the month. For example, today, say it's the 24th, and listen to chapter 24. No matter what you're doing in the word and how you're studying the word, just listen to it. We need wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Right now, I mean, if you go back and look at all the mistakes that we've made individually and as a group, as a people, there was just no wisdom there. It was like, you go back and look at it, it makes such good sense. Hindsight's brilliant. You know why? Because now you got the wisdom of how not to do it. That's how Solomon was so wise. And so what Proverbs is the wisdom of God, the word of God's wisdom. And it'll just help you make decisions and know what to do. For example, today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 24, verse 11 through 12. It says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Will he not repay each person according to what he's done? I mean, as we've been talking about, that's why you hear us on VFN Radio, VFN TV. It's why you see us getting to as many people in the nation as we can, because we want to tell you God's going to hold us accountable for not letting you know that we see the sword being formed against our nation. We see God blowing a whistle as we talk about embrace yourself. If you haven't heard brace yourself, brace yourself. You got to hear it. And Syria is a sign, and we're telling you that we're headed towards a place that can cause great death, eternal death, but not only that, but death in the context of physical death. Great destruction, slaughter. We've just been so blessed. We don't realize every day there's martyrs in the faith. Every day, pastors are being ripped out of their homes, and their gathering places are being destroyed, and people are being forced. Women are being snatched and forced now in this supposed Arab Spring, and being forced to become wives of men who are in Islam, Muslims, and they are. Suffering great slaughter. Horrific things are taking place. And we are supposed to warn people. If you know this, the reason why you know it is because God has made it known to you. And don't think you made it known to you, but you're not going to share with anybody. God has lightened your eyes enough to know that there is a storm coming, that people are headed, there's great death coming to this earth. I mean, even Revelation talks about a third of mankind will fall. But right now, and if you know this, and the answer is not political, the question is, are you telling people by thinking you're going to get some political answer? Or are you going and telling your friends, your family, and your neighbors, and your community, and say, listen, a storm is coming. And the reason why you know it, sir, the reason why you know it, ma'am, is because God has made it known to you. And he says, listen, he says, don't you understand that I'm going to hold you accountable for that? Can you imagine trying to answer to God as the people who were standing in the towers at 9/11 when the towers fell? that you're sitting here saying, yeah, I knew that. Well, why didn't you tell them? I'm going to hold you accountable because you didn't tell them that they were going to walk into the tower that day and two planes were going to come in by radical Islam followers. They're going to come in and try to destroy and kill over 3,000 Americans. This is going to happen. Things are going to happen. But if we tell people, people can repent.
Right.
People are walking right now and making foolish decisions, but God expects us who are seeing, and we need help too, but if we see, we've got to let them know. We got to rescue them. Listen, even if they're making foolish decisions, we got to say, you know, do whatever you got to do to be able to help as many as possible not walk this walk of death. To not walk, don't just go, if you have the attitude like this, oh, well they should have just known. And if they would have just known, listen, if you've been to any kind of gathering lately and what they're actually teaching from pulpits, no, they wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't know. They got 3 points and a farewell. It's like, hello, what do I do with this reality that I go home to every day?
Right.
Right.
And God says, I'm going to hold you accountable for that. The wisdom is this. This is the wisdom of God, the saying that, listen, if you know, you have to tell them. How is that going to balance out standing at the throne of God when you're saying, well, you know, I was so busy and I had so much going on. And besides, you know, they should have known anyway. It's like, no, they would have known because God made it known to you. And now you can make it known to them. I mean, if anything, think about this. The wisdom of VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is get your family and friends and as many people in your community listening to VFN radio, because that alone, when you stand before the throne of God, you say, listen, I made an effort. I made an energy. I put effort forward to let them know so they wouldn't die, so they wouldn't walk into the slaughter. Proverbs. The wisdom moment for today is Proverbs 24:11-12. Rescue those led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. And let me tell you something. That's how you could describe America right now. America's walking towards its death. It's walking towards people who want to see our demise, who refer to us as the big Satan. They want to slaughter us. You know, as the Quran says, they want to remove the head just above the neck. That's what it says. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this. Does not he, which is God, who weighs the heart, perceive what you're doing, sir? Perceive what you're doing, ma'am? And will he not repay each person according to what he has done? You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.